Welcome back to Hino's Home Show. We're so glad that you joined us again. I'm here with the great Steve Kenny, Encyclopedia Steve Kenny. How you doing today, Steve?
I'm doing good, Hino.
All right. Good deal. Well, we are brought to you by the folks over at Accurate Mortgage Group. If you're looking to buy a house or refinance a house, do give them a shout over at accuratemtg.com. Of course, you can also find them at hinoshomeshow.com. Steve, have you ever gone shopping for a brand new house?
I have not done it myself, but I have helped a lot of people through this process.
Yeah, I've done it before, and it's really amazing what is considered an option. Everything's an option. You know, you go to buy a house, and they're like, yes, these start at only $100,000. And you're thinking, wow, that's a bargain. All right, let's go check it out. And then you sit down with the person, and they're like, okay. Doorknobs. Do you want doorknobs? We're like, well, yeah. Okay. Well, that's an upgrade. Boop, boop, boop. You know, you want a door on the toilet? Yeah. Well, that's going to be an upgrade. So by the time you're done, you've got a $400,000 house, you know? So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I was just caught to thinking, you know, what is a upgrade that is worth it, you know, that actually will add to the value of the house, and what upgrades maybe are not worth it or can wait? And, you know, there's certainly some ones that I think are definitely worth it, like the kitchen, for example.
Yes, always the kitchen. Kitchen and bathrooms are what sell homes, right?
Absolutely. So. I mean, when people walk into a house, if you're going to go sell it eventually, first thing they look at is the kitchen. And, you know, especially if the cook in the family is going to look at it and go, I can't see myself cooking in there. Or, wow, I definitely want to see myself cooking in there. And that's where people spend the most time, usually.
Yeah, I mean, it's really like the focal point of the house. When people come over, you know, you have a living room or a family room, and you think, okay, we're going to hang out in there. And inevitably, everybody ends up in the kitchen.
That's true. So there's some things that, you know, when the builder gives you the option to upgrade, they might be worth it. Like, you know, taller cabinets, for example, in the kitchen. You know, things that are more expensive or really expensive to upgrade later on. You don't want to have to rip out cabinets to put new cabinets in. So that's the kind of thing that, you know, you want to do at the outset.
Well, and it's like you said earlier, they kind of have it broken up into packages a lot of times. And so that base price that you're going to get is pretty much like a college apartment. It's got cheap countertops, you know, regular size cupboards. You're not getting any of that extra special stuff.
Right. It looks nothing like the model home.
Yeah.
The model home has every conceivable option crammed into it.
Yes. You know? Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. So yeah, I mean, one of the things that I think in a kitchen is always very important is the countertops. You know, the ones that come with it, you're probably going to want to upgrade from that. So something like granite, you know, that's been around for a long, long time, that everybody just kind of expects granite in a new house at this point.
Although I will say, one of the things that I think maybe is not worth it is marble countertops, because marble is kind of the rage these days.
Yeah.
But marble, you know, it chips easily, it stains easily, you constantly have to seal it, so there's a lot of work involved. And, you know, if you're going to want something that looks kind of like that, quartz countertops look kind of like marble.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're practically bulletproof. You know, you can put hot pots down on them and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, that's really the reason that granite became so popular, was because you can just lay down hot things on the countertop and not worry about it melting or discoloration or anything like that.
It's going to have to get really hot before you melt granite.
Then
you probably don't want to be around when that happens. But things like, you know, electrical, you know, if you're going to put under cabinet lights in, or you just want extra light switches, extra light sockets. Kitchen that I had done once, I had outlets put inside the cabinets so that I could plug in appliances and just leave them in the cab, especially things that have to charge and that kind of thing. That way everything can be inside the cabinet and still plugged in. So that's the kind of thing that's really expensive to add later, because you have to rip everything open, but they can do pretty easily up front.
Yes.
When they're building it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that is actually a good idea. Even in an old house, putting in light switches or sockets in a cabinet, I've actually never heard of that. That's
yeah,
a really
I've
good
actually
one.
Done it where I've installed outlets behind the cabinets, you know, where the kitchen cabinets are going to go. So then you can plug in, you can install an outlet in the back of your drawer and just plug it in. So that inside drawers, you can have things plugged in. That's a great way to have your phones or just whatever. You know, kitchens have all kinds of things that you have to plug in, and that way they can stay hidden.
Wow.
Less clutter that way.
I learned something today, Hino.
Wow.
I want to build a house eventually, and you are definitely going to get consulted on that one because that is a great idea.
Okay. So we talked about that, but, you know, other things that are expensive to do later is things that are energy efficient. You know, the doors, the windows, the insulation, stuff like that. Go ahead and upgrade that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for a lot of different reasons too, because one, while you're living in the house, you know, we're kind of talking about upgrades that are worth it for home values.
Right.
But while you're living in the house, you're going to keep your energy bills lower, you know, your air conditioning, all that sort of stuff. That's going to be a lot cheaper. So you get to take advantage of that.
That's right.
While you're living in the house. So not only does it help when you go to resell it, it also helps you while you're living there.
That's right.
What about planning for a new construction and having additional rooms or anything like that? Do you have any advice on that?
Oh, so if you have an area of the house that's not finished, like a basement or like the attic, you know, like our house has an attic room that's you can open a door and walk into. It's got a floor and you've got all our stuff stuck in there, storage. But if we ever wanted to finish it out, right now it's not roughed in. There's no plumbing roughed in there. So roughed in basically means they ran the pipe to that area, but they didn't finish it off. But at least it's in the walls throughout the rest of the house, and it's connected to everything electrical. Okay. So they didn't do that. So if I was doing that now, if I was building our house now, I would have that stuff roughed in so that in the future, if I wanted to finish out the basement or finish out the attic, that really expensive stuff is already done.
Okay.
And it's just a matter of tapping into it and, you know, finishing off the plumbing and finishing off the electrical and maybe the heating ducts and that kind of thing. Whereas later on, once the house is done, that stuff's really expensive to do.
Wow, that's okay. That is actually really good advice. I never thought about that. I mean, I could see how like a builder would try and cut corners and like, oh yeah, here's this empty room that you could finish off. But if they don't run the plumbing or the electrical, like that's going to be a real hassle.
Later on, absolutely. Yes. Now, another thing I think that a lot of people don't think about is having a bigger garage. I don't think anybody's ever complained about having too much storage space in their garage.
No, if you can opt for a bigger garage, definitely get it. And here's the thing, like even if it's just, you know, let's say husband and wife and the kids are all young, so they're not driving yet, a 3-car garage is probably still worth it because you're going to have mom's car, dad's car, and then you're going to have room for either storage or lawnmowers or, you know, maybe
there's
you
always
have some
something.
Toy. Yeah, or even bikes for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, it always makes sense to get more garage space. And honestly, that's the one thing right now that me and my wife are kind of missing.
Garage space.
Is garage space.
Yeah, I wish I had more. My dad has a 4-car garage and I envy the heck out of that thing. Because he's got lots of room. Lots of room. Now, there's some things I think that are just not worth the extra money when you go sit down with the builder and they're trying to sell you all these upgrades. One of them, I think, is just actual real hardwood floors. Because real hardwood floors are expensive, they damage easily, and they're more prone to humidity and you know, water spillage and that kind of thing. So laminate floors can actually look just like hardwood floors, but they're engineered in a way where they're, you know, they're just tougher and they're not as prone to scratches and that kind of thing. So, and you're going to get a much longer lifespan out of them for like half the money.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Especially if you have pets. I mean, that's probably the biggest thing. Like
dogs with their claws as they're running through the house. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Our previous house that we had in Franklin, we actually put in hardwoods and we put in, it wasn't a laminate. I think it was called engineered hardwood.
Yeah.
The reason we did that is because we have dogs.
Yeah.
And we know people who have had, you know, real hardwood and it looks great when you first get it. But after living there for years.
My last house, I had real hardwood floors and, you know, we ended up with a million pets and they looked awful after a while, you know, it's just the way it is. So,
You definitely want to set up your house to be comfortable lived in.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to have to be like nervous about breaking little things. So, you know, try and pick things that are a little more durable, a hardwood floor or not hardwood floor is a good example of
that.
But
from a resale point of view, you know, the really good laminate is going to look just as good as regular hardwood floors.
Yes.
One thing that every builder always tries to sell is the master bedroom bump out. Hey, we can add an extra 200 square feet to this back bedroom by bumping out the back wall. And, you know, it's only $5,000 or $8,000 or something like that.
Of course.
And, you know, when I looked at the numbers, that extra square footage that you're getting, you're not going to get that much value out of the house. It's not really adding. You're much better off taking that $5,000 and upgrading elsewhere where you are going to get bang for your buck, like the kitchen, for example, or the bathrooms and that kind of thing. So that's one thing I would say is not really that worth it.
Yeah, and here's something else to take into consideration too. Some of this stuff you can do later on. If there are things that you can do later on, you can probably do it later on your own cheaper.
Right.
Because when this builder is doing it, you know, they're also adding in an extra margin. That's how they make money, is sure. by selling upgrades.
Sure.
So, you know, you may get a $50 light fixture and they're going to charge you $75 for it because they're going to charge you $25 to put right. it in.
Well, light fixtures was actually one of the things that I was thinking about, was that the selection that most builders have are, you know, not that great. You know, so yeah. you're much better off just taking the basic lights that they add in there and going out yourself later and going to a really good lighting place and finding some interesting stuff to put in. You're going to get a yes. much cooler light fixture, probably for less money, you know, but yeah. you will have to put it in yourself, but most people can handle that.
Well, yeah. And what we're talking about too is, you know, a builder who's going to build an entire neighborhood. You know, you're going to have similar floor plans. There's going to be similar upgrades in other houses. If you really want to make your house your own, you know, in a neighborhood of similar houses, doing those custom fixtures after the fact is what's going to make your home unique, because somebody else invariably is going to have
the same, yeah,
the upgrades.
Exactly. Exactly. I think definitely get the door on the toilet, you know?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Definitely. And doorknobs. You definitely need doorknobs.
Yeah. Yeah. If they offer the option for what's called a water closet,
yeah.
which basically means the toilet in its own separate room in the bathroom, definitely go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that was the funniest thing I saw is when I did that, is that the door on that little room was an extra option. I was like, who doesn't want that? You know?
Right.
Who does not want a door on the toilet?
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, we got to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more of Hino's Home Show. We're going to talk about buying a home with cash. Is that a good idea? Do you got a pile of cash and you want to buy a house with it? Let's talk about that on Hino's Home Show. Oh, yeah, welcome back to Hino's Home Show. Got us dancing a little bit. Oh, man. We are brought to you by the folks over at Accurate Mortgage Group. They'll get you closed and back to life if you're looking to buy a house or refinance a house. I'm here with Encyclopedia Steve.
Hey, Hino.
So I wonder how many people have ever tried to buy a house with cash, like actual cash. Is that possible? Can you do that?
I'm sure that somebody's tried it.
Well, it just kind of got me thinking. I mean, not many people can afford to buy a house with cash. You know, you whip up a suitcase full of, you know, $100 bills for $500,000. Most people don't do that. Most people go the mortgage route.
Right.
Especially with houses. You know, I think the median price in the country is about $320,000.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I feel like Nashville itself is probably a little bit higher.
A little bit higher. Yeah. But can you do that? I mean, most people, when they talk about buying a house with cash, it's like, you know, out of their investments, or they've got some stock that they're selling and they're not going the mortgage route. They're just going to transfer some money that way and pay for the house that way. So that, you know, whether that ends up as a cashier's check or a wire transfer, yeah, that's fine. But could you actually buy a house with a pile of cash? And that got me thinking, I don't know if you can.
You know, the answer to that is actually no.
Okay, why?
Because the title company is going to require the funds to come from some financial institution. So if it's in the form of a cashier's check, or if it's in the form of a wire, which is really the most typical, once you get over $10,000, they really prefer a wire because that's easy to trace.
Mm-hmm.
It has to come from a financial institution, because some people have heard of, you know, the limit where anytime you deposit greater than $10,000,
they have to report that.
It gets flagged, right. It's called a SAR report, S-A-R.
A suspicious activity report.
Exactly, yes. So every financial...
Nothing to do with the SAR virus from years ago.
That's a good point.
Different thing.
Yeah, totally different thing. Financial institutions have a process set up where anytime there's suspicious activity, they have to file one of these reports. So anytime that there's money moving that's greater than $10,000,
right.
or in some cases actually less.
$9,999.99.
Yeah. If they see like five of those deposits going in all on the same day for just under $10,000, they're probably going to flag it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it is required that it comes from a financial institution. Now, how it gets to that financial institution, you know, that's a whole different story. So if you've just got, you know, $500,000 in cash sitting in a safe in your basement, you can bring that to your bank, but you're going to have to go through a lot of paperwork and deal with a lot of stuff to be able to get that money actually in the bank.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. So, I mean, they have some of the same requirements that we do. As mortgage people, we have to source funds that are used for buying a house. We have to, you know, be able to document where it came from. Right. And just for people who don't know, why do they do that? Why do they care?
It's actually for money laundering is one, and the other one is actually terror activity, believe it or not.
Okay.
You know, for anybody who remembers the Patriot Act that got passed back, it was either 2001 or 2002. I can't remember exactly when it passed. That was one of the requirements that they put in is making sure that people are not funding these bad activities, essentially.
Yeah. Okay. There are some benefits to buying a house with cash. When I say cash now, I just mean, you know, using your investments, using the money that you have in the bank to buy a house rather than getting a mortgage. There are some benefits. I mean, obviously the one is you don't have mortgage interest.
Right. Absolutely. And I think there's an important distinction to make too, when we talk about buying with cash, like Heino's mentioned, using your own investments, like cashing out stocks, that sort of thing. A lot of times, and a lot of people don't know this, you know, the home shows where they go and look at a home that just completely needs to be gutted.
Right.
You know, they're like, all right, we're going to offer you this amount of money and it's like $100,000 under asking price and we're going to pay all cash and close in 7 days. Those people are actually not really using their own money. They're actually lending money from a bank or like a hard money lender, but they're saying cash because they're able to close based on that relationship they have with the bank. So we're not talking about that whole thing because we could talk for days about that.
Yeah. So what people who are scratching their heads right now, hard money lender, what does that mean?
Hard money essentially means you and I have a relationship and I know you're good for the money. So I'm going to loan it to you, but I'm going to charge you through the nose for it.
That's the hard part.
That's the hard part.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. And so those home shows, that's how they pull that stuff off so quick.
Right. Exactly. And that's how they're able to do multiple homes at one time. They don't just have millions of dollars.
Right. Yeah. So, but somebody just using their investments to buy a house. I mean, obviously they're not going to have mortgage interest. So that's a great... That's yes. an advantage. It, I think, gives you more leverage when you're going to make the offer because you can say, hey, this is a cash offer, no contingency for, you know, having to get approved for financing, that kind of thing, so we can close faster.
Right. So when you hear the word contingency, because that gets thrown a lot in our industry and we're all kind of familiar with it, but for anybody who's not familiar with what a contingency is, that basically means I'm agreeing to buy your house as long as X, Y, and Z happen.
Right.
So when you say there's no contingencies, I'm buying your house.
Right.
Like it's just a matter of us signing all the documents and I'm buying your house.
Right.
But if you're doing it, let's say, contingent on the sale of your current home, that's a risk for the seller.
And yeah, so it might not sell.
Exactly. You may have to pull out of the contract. You may lose your earnest money. You may get it back. But that's what we mean when we say contingency. There's certain things that have to happen in order for you to be able to execute on the purchase of this person's home.
Right. Well, I think one of the other benefits might be that there's a little bit less fear involved. You know, people are always worried about the downturn of the market. What if housing values crash? Well, if you paid cash for the house, you don't have to worry about being quote unquote upside down in it.
Right.
You know, you're not going to owe more than it's worth and then you're stuck there. You're always going to have some sort of asset there. You know, might be worth less right now, but eventually it'll come back at some point, right? And so at least you don't have to worry about that being upside down. So that's a little bit less worrisome there.
Well, yeah. And that really the way that works too is you're only, if you're underwater, even in that circumstance, which hopefully we never have that again from 2008, 2009,
right.
You don't actually lose money until you go to sell the house.
Right. It's on paper.
Right. So you can ride it out. And if your home's only worth, you know, less than what you paid for it now, in 5 years, it may be worth more. So it just depends on whether or not you're actually trying to sell your house. Now, that could put you in a position where you're kind of locked into that house for a little bit longer.
Right.
So that's kind of a downside. But the nice thing is, let's say you lose your job. If you lose your job, you don't have a mortgage payment to make. So you probably can get by on that.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you've got money for food and, you know, some other basic necessities. So paying cash for a house eliminates a lot of that fear of having to make that payment every month.
Yeah, well, there actually are some downsides, of course. I mean, some people who do have all that money in the bank, they still opt for getting a mortgage.
Yes.
With, let's say, a 20% down payment, that kind of thing. They do that, you know, basically not to keep their money tied up.
Yeah, so believe it or not, we work with a lot of financial planners. I don't think that's kind of crazy to believe, but a lot of people who have financial planners and have lots of money and assets, most of them actually have mortgages. And the reason for that is because mortgages are so cheap right now. You know, we talk about 2-4%, anything like that. If you can keep your money with a financial planner and get a higher rate of return based on those investments, it's better to keep your money in, let's say, the stock market or in the bond market or whatever market, if you're getting a greater return than what you're paying in interest.
Right, right. So if you're not worried about, you know, not having your house paid off, because some people, that's like a big deal for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be able to do better with that money. It might be able to earn you more money than what, however much your house is appreciating in value. One of the harder things, I think, is that when it comes to liquidity, though, having your money tied up in the house is not as your equity is not as easy to tap into. If you have some sort of emergency and you need to, you know, get a hold of, let's say, $50,000 or $100,000 or something like that, going through a refinance, that takes time.
Right.
You know, it's going to take a month or two, depending on the conditions of your house and the conditions of your loan and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But cash in the bank, you know, you can pretty much get right away.
Right, exactly. So for anybody who's heard the term liquid or illiquid, real estate is considered illiquid for that reason that you just said. You know, it's going to take you time to get access to that money. Now, if you've already got a line of credit on your house that you have just in case of emergencies, that money's considered liquid because you can just go to the bank and pull it out.
Right, right.
You know, so there are some variances where it can be liquid, but that is definitely a consideration. Like, if you are going to pay cash for a house, you probably should have a line of credit anyway, just in case you need access to that money.
Now, what about the tax breaks? I mean, if you pay cash for a house, are you going to miss any tax breaks that you might get?
So in all fairness, not a CPA.
Yep,
so
me neither.
Consult
me neither.
Your CPA. But yes, there is the mortgage interest deduction. So I think it's up to like $500,000 or something.
Yeah, I think you can deduct the first $10,000. I don't know. They change this stuff so often that
it's true.
You know, that's why I have a CPA, so they can keep track of it.
Yeah, so there is a benefit to the mortgage interest deduction. However, whatever that write-off is, you're only preventing yourself from having to pay taxes on that. So like, let's say, for example, that you paid $10,000 in interest this year and you got to reduce that. Well, the actual cash value to you is going to be something like $1,200 or $2,000. Like, you're not actually saving $10,000. You're still paying out $10,000 in interest.
Right.
And your taxes go down like $1,000 or $2,000, depending on your situation.
So with that in mind, is it worth, you know, spending $10,000 to save $2,000.
Right, exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah. Right. Know? Everybody's situation's different. So that's where you want to talk to your CPA. So you are missing out on that, but depending on what you're trying to do, it may or may not make sense.
Yeah. So basically the wisdom, I think, to whether or not you pay cash for a house just kind of comes down to a couple of things. Is like the security of, you know, knowing that your house is paid off and knowing that it's all yours. You know, property taxes notwithstanding.
Right. And insurance.
Don't pay those and they'll come take your house. But yeah, other than that, you own your house.
Yeah.
Then there's, you know, do you have enough money left over to, you know, deal with an emergency that might come up? How important is it to you that you have money to invest in other things rather than put it in the house? So there's a couple different things to think about when you're thinking about whether or not you should pay cash for a house.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, something I would recommend to people too in this situation, something like this, talk to your CPA, talk to your financial planner, talk to your mortgage person. It really takes everybody. Everybody's going to have a different kind of viewpoint on this.
Right.
And you want to talk to a couple of different people in their respective industries so that you can make the best all-around decision for yourself.
Absolutely.
Because everybody's situation is going to be a little bit different. So
that's right.
You know, talk to all of your financial professionals and really get a good team around you so that way you can make the best decision.
Absolutely. Well, for me, for one, there's only so much talking I need to do. I know I don't have $500,000 sitting under my bed. So
right.
So that makes it solved. Problem solved. All right. Well, listen, we got to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a whole lot more of Hino's Home Show. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to Hino's Home Show. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Accurate Mortgage Group. They're at accuratemtg.com. If you're looking to buy a house, refinance a house, look them up. They'll help you out. They'll get you closed and back to life. I'm here with Encyclopedia Steve. Steve, we were just kind of talking during the break. We get a lot of questions during the course of our job. Steve and I both, you know, work in the mortgage business, as you probably know. And there's some common questions that come up, and I got a bunch of them this week. They're not doing this every day, so they have questions. So, I mean, it's...
Yeah, we get, you know, surprisingly, we get a lot of the same questions over and over and over again. And so we thought now would be a great opportunity to go over some of those. So that way, if you have these questions, you know, maybe we can answer them.
Absolutely.
For you.
So what's the most common one you've gotten lately?
The most common one I think I get is related to documents that you have to provide. So why should I give you W-2s versus my tax returns or vice versa?
I got that one this week too. Yeah. It was like, oh, I sent you my tax returns. I'm like, yeah, but I need the W-2s. And he's like, why?
Yeah. So why is that?
Why? Well, I think it comes down to the fact that your W-2s are prepared by a disinterested third party, your employer. And so they're providing this document that says, here's what you made this year. Your tax returns, technically, you can do those yourself. Right. And you can put on your tax return whatever you want. You might get audited at some point, but but technically you could put whatever you want on those. So they're self-prepared, or you know, most people hire an accountant, but technically they're prepared by you.
Yeah, and here's another thing that goes along with that too is, let's say you're married and both you and your wife are W-2, or you and your husband, depending on who's listening, on your tax returns, it's just going to combine both of those together. So we're not going to be able to differentiate, like, you know, Bob made this much money and Sherry made this much money. It's just going to show that, hey, here's how much W-2 income you made. Now, there are some tax preparers who actually break that down, which I will be honest is very nice. But for exactly the reason that Heino mentioned, getting the W-2 from a disinterested third party is one of the important things, because you're not the one who's actually filling that out.
That's right. That's right. One of the questions that I've gotten recently is, hey, can I get a mortgage without a credit score? Because actually that happens sometimes. You know, you run their credit and there's just nothing there. It's not that they have a bad credit score. There's just no credit score. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, I pay all cash for everything. I don't believe in borrowing money. Well, that's awesome.
Yes.
But now you're trying to get a mortgage.
Right. And now you're trying to borrow money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So usually that ends up showing up as like just NA on a credit report. If we pull your credit and you don't have a score, it just says NA, which is one of the funniest things to look at.
Yeah.
But having no credit is a lot better than having bad credit.
Absolutely. So the answer is yes, it can be done, but it's kind of tough.
Yeah. And one of the ways that we go about showing that you pay your bills is what's called alternative trade lines.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, let's say, renting a house now, or you've paid your house off and so you haven't had a mortgage in 30 years, well, you're going to have utility bills that you're paying. So like cable bill, water bill, electrical bill.
Any regular reoccurring bill that we can show you pay on time with regularity.
Right. Absolutely. So it's going to require a little bit of extra documentation, but obviously, you know, probably worth it if you're trying to, you know, buy a new house or borrow a big amount of money.
What are some other questions that you get?
So why can I not roll in my closing costs when I buy a house?
That's true. So on a refinance, you can roll in your closing costs. And yeah. So you can basically do a refinance for no out-of-pocket money. Whereas when you buy a house, you can't do that. You have to bring your down payment at least, and your closing costs can't be rolled into the loan. Why is that?
Well, it has to do with the equity position when you're taking out the mortgage. So when you are buying a house, we're going to have to use either the purchase price or the appraised value, whichever is lower.
Right.
Now, most of the time they come in either exact same or very close, so it really doesn't make any difference. But the different loan programs have requirements that mean you have to have a certain amount of equity to be able to close on the house. So an example of that, just to make it easy, is FHA requires 3.5% down.
Right.
Well, if you're going to roll in your closing costs, you're not going to have that 3.5% down, right?
Right.
So that's the reason why you cannot roll in your closing costs. Now, if you were going to put, let's say, 20% down and go conventional, and you say, hey, I want to roll in my closing costs, well, at that point, you're just going to put less money down.
Yeah.
You know, you're still going to get a conventional mortgage. You're just going to put less down because you don't have it.
Yeah.
So that actually leads into another question that we get a lot. What is mortgage insurance and am I going to have to pay it?
Mortgage insurance. Yeah. A lot of people get that confused with their homeowner's insurance.
Yes.
The homeowner's insurance, of course, is just, you know, insuring you in case your house burns down or a plane falls on it or something bad happens. Mortgage insurance really doesn't insure you at all. It insures the lender.
Right.
That if you default on your mortgage, they're covered.
Right.
So you're basically paying for somebody else's insurance, and most people don't like that idea.
<laughs> <You know? laughs> No, definitely not.
Yeah.
And really, you know, when it comes to a lot of stuff related to mortgages, it's all about risk. So whether it's mortgage insurance or interest rates or whatever, you know, everything has to do with risk. And so if you as the borrower are not putting 20% down, that's more risky for the lender. So they want an insurance policy that's going to cover that.
Right. You have less skin in the game in that respect. They're thinking it's going to be easier for you to walk away from the house because you have less invested in it.
Right. Exactly.
So another question I get is, how come I can't buy stuff during the loan process? Because we always tell people, okay, while we're doing this, don't spend any money. Don't take out any new credit. Don't go buy a boat. Don't go buy a motorcycle. Just hang tight until we're done.
Yeah. Yeah. The reason for that is because of something that we reference on fair occasion on the show, your debt to income ratio. So your debt to income ratio is how much your monthly payments are versus how much money you make. So if you've got a $200 car payment and you trade that in and you get a $600 car payment, your debt to income ratio is going to go way up.
Right. And when we first qualified you, we assumed, you know, we qualified you based on the current picture.
Right.
And so, okay, this works. Don't mess with it.
Right. Now let's say you get into a situation where, hey, I still qualify anyway. I'm still going to go out and buy a new car. The problem with that is that's going to create a lot of extra paperwork for you and for us, because we're going to have to get your new agreement. You're going to have to do a conference call where you're talking to the old lender along with our credit servicer. You're going to have to talk to them to verify it's been paid. And then we're going to have you do another conference call with the new lender, showing what the new terms of the agreement are to make right. sure that they match.
Right. So most people hate the extra cumbersome paperwork.
Right.
So save yourself that hassle and wait to buy that motorcycle until the day after closing.
Exactly.
And then we're good to go.
Yep.
One of the questions that comes up a lot with everybody right now is it worth looking at buying down the rate? I mean, rates are pretty low right now anyway, but is it worth spending the money to buy it down even more? What do you tell people when they ask you that?
It depends a lot on the situation.
Yeah.
Now, what I will say is right now, because we're at historic lows, it's probably going to behoove you to buy down your interest rate. You know, because even though we are at historic lows, like if you're buying your rate down, you're getting a little bit lower than
what market. Yeah, and it's going to be unlikely that you're going to be able to get down that low
right.
in the future.
Right, exactly.
Now, because they will go up eventually.
Yes.
I mean, we don't know when, but yeah. eventually.
Right. I mean, they pretty much have to. Like, there's going to be a lot of different market factors that are going to dictate interest rates going up. And, you know, we see that. Like, we're kind of bouncing off the bottom. So it does make sense in that case. But another thing to consider is, how long are you going to be in the home? You know, if you are a first-time home buyer and your house is good for you now, but you eventually want to have kids in a certain school district and you think you're going to move in 3 years, buying down your interest rate probably doesn't make sense.
No, but if this is your forever home and you're going to be there for a long time, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of look at it as if you can break even on what you're spending to buy down the rate within, let's say, 2 to 3 years, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, anything beyond that, you know, if it's going to take you 8 years, 10 years to break even, then maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, certainly like if you have a question about that in your specific scenario, call us.
Yeah.
You know, we can help advise you guys on that thing. That's really what we're here for.
Well, speaking of rates, I mean, one of the things that is in every payment just about is escrowing for property taxes and insurance. But some people want to do that on their own. And certain loan programs allow for that. You can pay your own property taxes and insurance. However, the rate and tends to be a little bit higher for that. And that's the question I get a lot is why? Why is my rate higher if I want to pay my property taxes and insurance? And it just really goes back to what you said earlier. It comes down to risk.
Right.
You know, because if we are collecting for your property taxes and insurance, we know they're getting paid.
Right.
We know that the IRS or the state isn't going to come and take your house away in a tax lien because the property taxes are getting paid. Or if the house burns down, that it's not insured.
Right.
So that's why then the rate can be a little bit higher if you're not escrowing property taxes and insurance.
And truthfully, it's really not like your interest rate is that much higher.
It's not really that much.
Yeah, it's really not. It's really like maybe a couple $100 in cost or something. Like, we're not talking a huge difference, but it can be worth it for you if that's something you really just want to do on your own.
Yeah. And we covered this one in the last segment a little bit, but I have had this come up twice in the last month where people have been saving their money and they want to buy a house now, but it's in a safe in their closet. So they've got like 10 grand that they want to put towards their down payment. And that becomes an issue. It's like, no, you can't really. I mean, we have to go through some steps to make that work.
Yes.
Because of documentation issues. So yeah, you can use the cash, but we're going to have to go through some steps. It's going to have to sit in your bank account for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, if you, that is a great recommendation for people. If you are saving money to buy a house, put the money in the bank.
Yes.
I know, I mean, and if you have to open a separate savings account so that way you won't spend it, do it. I promise you it's absolutely worth it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more of Hino's Home Show, so you stick around. Oh, yeah, welcome back to Hino's Home Show. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Accurate Mortgage Group. If you're looking to buy a house, refinance a house, take advantage of these super low rates we got going on right now, look them up at accuratemtg.com and they'll get you closed and back to life. Steve, I love gadgets.
I know, you are a gadget guy.
I love gadgets. I really do. And there's some cool stuff I've seen lately that's for the house or that you can use around the house that I need to have. Must have now.
How does your wife feel about that? Is she on board with your gadget?
I don't know. Let's leave her out of this. Yeah. You know? But with all this COVID stuff going on, one of the really cool ones that I saw recently, there's this really neat phone charger. It kind of looks like a cup, like a tall cup that your phone slides into.
Okay.
And it's got infrared lights on the inside to disinfect it while it's wirelessly charging it. And I thought, that is so cool.
Wow.
Because how many times have we talked about that? The grimiest thing we carry around is our phones.
Yes.
Because we're touching them all day long.
Yeah.
Right? And I think I read an article once that said that public toilet seats are cleaner than most phones. Which is, when you think about that, is like, wow, that's gross.
Yeah, that is, I don't know, that's a lot. I don't know if I agree with that
one. Are you still processing that one? The mental picture?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
You just imagine putting like the toilet seat up to your face to talk to someone.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, no way. Funny enough, actually, I was just watching a rerun of Shark Tank and my wife and I are big on Shark Tank.
Like, yeah, I love that show.
Yeah, and we always, after the segment is over, we always look up the companies to see like what they're doing now.
Right.
And so one of the companies was actually a wireless charging. They build like the actual charging unit itself.
Okay.
So they don't sell like their product in the free market. They basically just license it to other people. And of course, you know, Mr. Wonderful is all about
loves
licensing.
The licensing. Yep.
Yeah. So the cool thing about what they did is, a lot of wireless chargers, like those little pads that you have, there's like one little charger right in the middle and you have to put your phone like directly
right on
in the middle. Yep. Yeah. In order for it to work. So these guys actually created this technology where the entire pad charges.
Okay.
So you can actually put down multiple things on one pad.
Yeah.
So you could charge your iPad, your iPhone, your watch, like you could charge all of it on just one pad.
And Apple's been working on one for a while. They're supposedly coming out with it at some point that's exactly like that. It's like long, it's a long rectangle and you can put down several things on it.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's definitely something we need in our house.
I wonder how much that show Shark Tank has influence the younger generation, because I see my 11-year-old son watching that show now and he'll blurt out things like, well, that's not proprietary. There's no way you can patent that, you know? And I'm like, looking at him like, you're 11.
Yeah.
It's got kids thinking in that business kind of way that I wonder how that's going to show up, you know, 10 years from now.
Yeah.
One of the things that I just got to have, and I've been thinking about lately, is those robot vacuums. We talked about those before, how they don't kind of work so great if you get the wrong one. But the new ones clean themselves, which just excites me, because the ones that I had before, it would run for 20 minutes and then you'd have to stop it. You'd have to empty the little canister. And it was like, I could have just vacuumed this myself.
Right.
You know, by the time. But the new ones, they have this cool base that they go dock into where they charge that has another vacuum built into it that basically sucks all the junk out of the little mobile vacuum, and then it goes back off and does its thing. So every once in a while when it gets full, it goes back, gets itself cleaned out, and then keeps going. So it can do the whole house or the whole area without having to be emptied, which was for me, the major drawback of having the one that I had in the first place.
Yeah, that's really cool. I didn't realize that they had ones that actually could clean themselves now. Like, that's kind of a nice feature.
And it's just basically a big vacuum bag in the base that you have to empty like maybe once a month or something.
Yeah. Very cool.
I think Roomba makes it. Shark makes one. So there's a couple different companies that have them.
You know, kind of along the same lines, my wife and I like to just go look at houses. You know, if there's an open house in our neighborhood or in a certain neighborhood that's not our neighborhood, like, we like to go check it out. You know, I'm a real estate professional. She digs the real estate thing. So we go and, like, you know, some of these new construction houses, you see these really cool features, right?
Yeah.
So kind of along the vacuum thing, there is like these under counter vacuums.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Have you ever seen those?
Yes.
Yeah. So like you basically will like sweep your kitchen floor or sweep the dining room floor or whatever it is and bring all that stuff over.
Yeah.
And then you like kick a little button and it starts the vacuum and the vacuum's like built into the cabinet.
Yeah.
And so you just swipe the stuff in there and then you kick the button again to turn it off and it just goes away.
I have one of those for the garage, oddly enough. It's just a little hunk of plastic that basically sits on the floor that the vacuum connects to, so you can sweep, you know, sawdust and stuff right up into it and it sucks it into the vacuum. So same idea.
Wow.
But now built into the kitchen. That's really cool.
Yeah, that is cool. And the only thing you have to do is like change. It's kind of like the old school vacuum cleaners with the bags.
Yeah.
You just have to change the container every once in a while. But I mean, it holds a whole lot of stuff. So yeah. Like you can use it for a while.
That's cool. Well, going back to the robot thing with the floors, they have them now for your front lawn. So it looks like basically like a Roomba thing, but it mows your lawn.
Really?
Yeah. And one of them is called the Landroid, which I thought was a really cool name.
That is a cool name.
And then I saw one at Home Depot. It's called the Robomo, which, you know, and basically the way I understand it is like you give the thing a good mow the old fashioned way the first time. And then this thing just goes out there every day and just, you know, keeps trimming it, you know, so it's never really cutting very much. It's just kind of keeping it in the same height.
Interesting.
Every day, you know, it's just constantly going around and keeping your lawn exact. So it always looks mowed.
So do you have to like empty the bag or does it just like...
I think it just leaves the clippings on the ground because it's just shaving off a tiny little bit. You know, yeah. It's not like it's cutting off, you know, 2 inches worth of grass. It's just cutting off the tiny little tips constantly all the time. So
yeah,
this thing just kind of goes out and does its thing at like, you know, 5 a.m. or at night or whenever you set it to go. My only fear would be having it get ripped off, you know.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah, especially because it's outside
doing its thing. Somebody's like, hey, that's cool. I think I'll take it, you know.
Well, okay, so I have to ask this question for all of my people out there with, you know, self-proclaimed OCD.
Yeah.
Does it cut in straight lines?
I don't think it does.
Oh,
I think like if you've ever watched the Roomba or one of those home vacuums do it, they're kind of going around. I don't know how they figure out their path, but they just kind of go all randomly all over the place. And eventually they get everything vacuumed up, but they're not going in straight lines.
Yeah. Oh no. I don't know if I can handle that.
I don't know. But they have them for windows now too. A robot window cleaner that looks like a Roomba that you stick to your window and then it does its thing, which I don't know how much benefit that is. I guess if you've got really big windows and they're like on a third floor or something like that, maybe that's a great idea because then you don't have to get out there on a ladder. But
well, so do you have to like put it on the window? It cleans the window and then you have to take it off and take it to the next window?
I think that's how it works. Yeah.
Really? See, I don't like that idea. That sounds like too much work. I mean, with a bucket and a squeegee, you could do it in like 30 seconds.
You could, but it wouldn't be as cool.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't be able to tell people that you have the Winbot X.
You know what? Maybe we should come up with one. What if it's like self-cleaning windows that basically use like windshield wipers that just go up and down the windows?
I like it. Well, you never know. I'm getting a grill here. I think I'm going to do it finally. I've been meaning to get a grill for the longest time. And I had to do some work to my deck first. I wanted to get the deck all nice and pretty and then put a grill on it. So I'm finally at that place now. And the new features that especially I think the Weber grills have is they have this thing called the iGrill feature, or smart food thermometer is what they call it. The iGrill smart food thermometer. Okay. And basically it's like little thermometers that you put in your food and then it connects to your phone. And so you can tell if your food's done. So you're not having to like check your steak every 5 seconds or every 5 minutes to see if it's done. If you want it just a certain way, you just look at your phone. It's like, oh, medium rare. It's ready to go, or medium well, or whatever it is that you want it to be.
Nice.
And I thought that was cool. That's very Jetsons, very futuristic.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, because usually when I'm grilling, like my wife and I are just kind of hanging out talking and like she'll be mid-sentence and I'll walk away from her to go check the grill. And she's like, where are you going? And it's like, I got to check the grill.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would save that. That's a good one.
Because I tend to be the type of person who like just hovers over the grill. Like,
oh, yeah, do you?
If I'm going to walk away, something bad's going to happen. And I do that when I'm cooking too, you know, just inside the house. I tend to just kind of stand there. It's like, okay, this needs 20 minutes to cook, but
yeah,
I'm going to stick around because you never know what's going to happen. You know?
Yeah, actually, I'm kind of the same way when I'm cooking something new or like I've never made before because I'm like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. And it makes me nervous. But once if it's the same thing, like cooking a steak on the grill, like, yeah, I'll just walk away for a while.
So last week we had Barbara Wise on and we were talking about gardening and that kind of thing. And just a couple of days ago, I saw something that I wish I had seen before. It's a Wi-Fi, what do they call it? A garden state tracker. So it tracks the state of your garden, and it basically looks like a spike that you stick in the ground, and through Wi-Fi, and again, on your phone, you can check like the soil moisture content and the pH and the acidity and all that stuff from your phone. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool, you know, a very high-tech way of kind of monitoring how your garden's doing.
Yeah, that is really cool. I mean, I'm not into gardening for anybody who heard last week's episode, but
I think we established that very firmly. Yeah. So you didn't turn into Gardener Steve in the last week.
Yeah. But, you know, along that same lines, and I mean, we've already given two examples of it, and to go back to Shark Tank, because we all love that show.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple seasons ago, Mark Cuban was talking about investing in sensors.
Yep.
And that's really what all of these are. Like, it's a sensor that connects to your phone, and that way you have information at your fingertips. I think that's really cool.
I look forward to seeing how many other things are going to have sensors in them in the next few years that we're all going to be monitoring on our phones constantly.
Yeah.
You know, are we out of toilet paper? I don't know. Let me check my iPhone. Yes. Yes, we are.
You know, Amazon actually piloted a thing, and I don't think they do it anymore, but it was like little buttons. And so you would put them and assign it towards like one thing, like let's say the milk in your refrigerator. Well, this button would just sit next to the milk. And when you ran out, you would just push the button and Amazon would automatically send it to you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So never took off. And honestly, I wouldn't want to see buttons
all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah. But if there was some way to make it, you know, where it was a little bit easier like that, that definitely would be a cool thing.
Well, that's pretty cool. Well, listen, we've had a great time. Thanks for listening to the show. If you want to check us out, you can find us at heinoshomeshow.com. Special thanks to Ellen Sevier, our producer, for helping us put a great show together today. We'll look forward to seeing you next week on Heino's Home Show.
Accurate Mortgage Group, a division of Copia LLC, is an equal housing lender, NMLS 4664, and a Moeller, NMLS 1666140.